Om Shanti. How truly it was being said by way of the song to which we were listening. It said, there are two kinds of human beings. There are two kinds of human beings, two kinds of individuals, two kinds of personalities. One can be designated as diamonds, whereas the others can be named as stones. Some human beings are stone-like, whereas others are diamond-like. What is it that makes the difference between the two? The song said it is because of the qualities. Some have the divine qualities, the divine virtues, the moral values. They are the real diamonds. And those who don't have this, they are the stone intellect, stone personalities. Their heart is like stone, their feelings are like stone. What they speak hurts others like stone. Their acts are injurious to others like stones are. So that on the whole we can say that they are like stones. They don't have any value in their life. They are as cheap as stones are as compared to the diamonds. So, it was a very inspiring song, trying to give us the hint that if we want really to become diamonds, and real diamonds, flawless diamonds, then we have to all the divine qualities, all the virtues, to full 16 degrees. Not a single virtue has to be left. It is the diamond jubilee year of this institution, and just at the very confluence of the end of the old year and the beginning of the new year, Baba gave a very valuable murli on 31st of December, giving us some directions, some hints, how we can become real diamonds. And I have been asked to share my thoughts with you this evening on this same subject, how to become flawless diamonds, real diamonds. Baba makes use of every occasion to give us a new inspiration, a new direction, new impetus, new enthusiasm in our life so that we can reach our goal. And since it is the Diamond Jubilee year, Baba has been at length explaining to us how we can become real diamonds, flawless diamonds. Though actually it is the same thing, sometimes he says that we have to become angels. At other times, he says we have to have the eight powers, that we have to become deities from human beings. The goal is the same, but if we explain it giving different dimensions, different titles, it gives a new idea to us, a new perspective. That also is a part of our education, because then we look at the same topic from another point of view, and we have some new inspirations. So I will just give you some gist from out of those murlis, from out of the directions which Baba has been given. There are many, innumerable, in fact, points which Baba has been giving us. All cannot be summed up within this short span of time. I will therefore point out at few of them, which perhaps you would find of use for you. Now, in the first instance, Baba has given us what kind of consciousness we should have. in order that we may become flawless diamonds. Because our main effort is to have the right kind of consciousness, the right kind of awareness. On this depends upon our spiritual effort. Our study mainly enables us to change, to alter our system of consciousness. Unless and until that is changed, we cannot change. Human beings have not been able to bring a world change before. It is because they did not try to implement the change via consciousness. They did not know that this is the most important tool of transforming the world. If you transform the consciousness of a person, you can transform the person. If you just transform the consciousness of the people inhabiting this planet Earth, you can change the world. This is the lever with which you can effect this change. And Baba has been giving mainly a number of points which are very vital, very powerful. The only thing is we don't understand their immense power which is hidden in them. We consider sometimes that these are ordinary ones. We already know them. We have been told this a number of times. But we don't put them into our practical life. That is the pity. Now, one of the points which he has been asking us in our consciousness, to implement in our consciousness is, think that you are a diamond and you are radiating 8 powers. Like a diamond radiates light. Picture to your mind the soul as a diamond. And in this case, this spiritual diamond, namely the soul, is radiating 8 kinds of powers. Can you imagine a diamond here and radiating 8 powers? What does it mean? Anyone who comes in contact with you feels that you have this power. Someone comes to you and seeks your advice to solve a particular problem that this person is faced with. And in this case, the power required is clear judgment. And he is not having a concrete or a complete judgment. His mind is confused. So, when he comes close to you and asks you the question, you should be able to reflect, to radiate, to reflect that judgment. Your personality should give those rays of judgment. Again, what does it mean? First of all, you connect yourself with Shiv Baba, then your mind will be stable. It will not be fluctuating like the needle, not this way, that way, not like a pendulum. It will be in its fixed place. And then you will get inspiration, the touching, the golden thoughts from Shiv Baba. And when you speak something from your mouth, that will be full of wise judgment. And this person will get those rays of judgment. So, always be conscious that you are a diamond radiating rays. What kind of rays? These 8 powers. Never be without it. At one point of time, at least you should be radiating, if not all these 8 rays altogether, instantly, simultaneously, then one of these should be preponderant, dominant, which you must be constantly radiating. Tolerance and other powers, which we already well know. So Baba says that in this year you should do this practice. So in this way you will not only be able to have those 8 powers, because you will become aware of them, conscious of them. By means of that consciousness, you yourself also will be awakening your powers. Powers are there. They are dormant. They are lying there, hidden. In order to awaken them, you have to be conscious of them. You have to bring them to the conscious level. And this is the way you should do. This is the seva through mind, service through mind, as Baba has been saying. So, when we say the soul is a point of light, it is one way of describing the soul. The other way perhaps could be that the soul is like a diamond. When the sunlight comes and the diamond gets that light, then it radiates that light in all directions, even otherwise also. So, we should get this kind of, these eight powers from Shiv Baba and radiate them. This is one yukti, one formula, one method, one way of being a flawless diamond. Because when you have these powers, Maya cannot enter you. So try this. It may seem to be very ordinary, as I said earlier, but try this and you will find a lot of change. Then only you become Shiv Shakti, because you get power from Shiva and you yourself become empowered. Therefore Shiva and Shakti combine, and when Shiva and Shakti combine and Shakti begins to radiate that power, then you are Shakti at play, Shakti in active life, Shakti being manifest. Then Baba said, you would perhaps say that it is very difficult to be soul conscious all the time. This is the experience of most of our sisters and brothers. And this is the question which is most often asked. Again and again we forget that we are souls. Again and again we return to our body conscious stage. Maybe milder than before. It may not be gross body consciousness, but it has a different slight shade of body consciousness. Body consciousness is there. It has not been totally rooted out. And Baba says, I ask you again and again to become soul conscious. And you say that it is not possible. Baba, we try our best. But again and again we feel that we have returned to body conscious stage. What should we do, Baba? What is the yukti? So in one of the murlis, Baba said, okay, you have been living in the body for all these 5,000 years. So perhaps your thoughts are all the time occupied of the consciousness, with the consciousness of the body. It is therefore perhaps difficult for you now to forget about it. Because you have been very much living this consciousness. All the time thinking of body. Not only identifying with the body, but thinking of embodied persons, embodied souls, grass, material, physical bodies. So, that is why you feel difficult to detach from it. If that be so, and that is so to an extent, Baba himself admits, he knows our weakness, why we again become body conscious. Because we have been with this experience, we have been living this. So Baba said, if you cannot forget body, again and again you remember body, then think of the angelic body. Not this bloody body of flesh and bones and blood, but the angelic body. At least this will uplift you to an extent, enlighten you. It will bring you nearer to your goal. Because you are only replacing one kind of body with another. That is something which we have been doing, which we can do. Because if you remember some soul which is in a body, then after some time you remember another person with a different body. So that means this is not difficult for you. You can forget about one embodied person and you can think of another embodied person, replacing the previous one. Similarly, if I ask you to remember the angelic body, that you are in the self-luminous, in the astral body, in the angelic body, the body of light, and that you look at others' aura-like body. You develop that kind of ability in you. Whenever you look at a person, you are aware that the soul is radiating the light. So when you look at any human being, any embodied person, you think of that aura of light. It is within that the body is there. and the body is also having some light. We do not have yet that ability whereby we can look at it from that angle. But the more we practice soul consciousness, the more is our ability to look at people from that point of view. This is actually what you say, the vibrations. I get these vibrations from you. What else you mean? It means the light which is coming from this person, from the angelic body of this person, from this soul directly, it is of that quality, negative or positive or whatever. So Baba said, the other way to become flawless diamond, real diamond, pure diamond, genuine diamond is, I am an angel. If you cannot always remember, I am a soul, a point of a light, you think, I am an angel, a being of light. All these are angels. As you think, so shall you become. That is the psychological law. And after practicing it for some time, you will feel that you are double light, in the sense that you are luminous, as well as you are not buried down, or you are not under the burden of anxiety and fear and other kinds of negative thoughts. You are liberated from it. You can fly. So it will give you that kind of stage. So this is another way Baba asks us to use in order that we become real diamonds. Then Baba says, beloved children, sweet children, lovely children, it is at this point of time in the whole cycle, world cycle, cycle of time, this auspicious Sangam Yuga, the period of confluence, that I give you my word. And who gives you this word? God, the holiest of the holy, the mightiest of the mighty, the most sublime, the most pure, the most beloved. He gives you this word, this promise. He says, I am with you. Only you have to be aware of it. The other day also, someone was giving the experience in his talk. He said he had a big problem with the government. The government officials came to visit the center where he was given some official duties. So he was responding to the questions of the official on behalf of the institution. But that officer was very hard-headed. Whatever reply I would give him, he would not be satisfied. He was a committed person and he wanted to find loopholes in the answers I gave, and he wanted to harm the institution. So I thought that what I am doing is not correct, and he would punish me and other people and others in the institution, put some financial burden on the institution, put some penalty, charge a heavy amount. So he says, just at that time, there was traffic control. And that man didn't know what traffic control is, because he was sitting inside the room. Inside the room, there is no traffic. So what do you mean by traffic control? There are no vehicles, no cars, no people moving about, no one crossing the road. So he told that man, can we be in silence for a couple of minutes, because it is traffic control? He couldn't understand what is traffic control, you see. But this made him soft. What is traffic control? But at that time, this brother became silent. He stopped talking in the middle of the talk. And that person only looked at him, stared at him. Without winking his eyes, what is this man doing? He is saying traffic control, doing nothing, you see. He has only stopped speaking. And stop speaking, it is for the first time I know that this is called traffic control, you see. He was astonished. So when that song was over, now he says that when that song was there and I was in traffic control, I said to Baba, Baba, I have been trying to persuade this man to the best of my ability. But I am perhaps not a proper instrument. I have not been able to convince this person. But Baba, this is your institution. I am just an instrument. And we will come to a great harm, the institution, because of me. Now because Baba, I have done whatever I could do. I have told him whatever I wanted to say. There is nothing else to add to it. So Baba, now I leave him in your hands. Do whatever you want to do. So he says, when I was in traffic control, I was speaking to Baba and asking him to help me. And just at that time, he says, instantly, almost instantly, as if Baba was already there, Baba appeared before me, and there was a self-luminous figure of Baba. I could see, very clearly see. Before that, I had not seen so clear form of Baba, angelic form of Baba, Brahma Baba. And Baba smiled. I was happy. It was a real experience. I felt detached from the body. That was the proof that it is something which is really taking place. It is not just a projection of my mind. And then he says, after the traffic control was over, I said to that man, now brother, what is your question? He said, no question. Absolutely no question. There is perfect peace. There is absolute peace here. I have no question. He says, I was astonished how this man changed. Previously, he was embarrassing me with so many questions, trying to corner me, push me, you see, and not listen to me. And he said, I belong to that such and such religion. I am not going to listen to you, this and that. And he was challenging me. And now, what happened in this traffic control period, you know, of a couple of minutes, that he now says, I am satisfied. No question. No question. There is peace. Wonderful peace. I feel peace here. So he says that I thought that Baba has done his work. So what I was trying to point out was, then he says, I thought that I should take him round the building, because he had to show the building to him. To show him the building, because at this time he is intoxicated with peace. But when he goes back to his office, his mind may change. So it is better to take him round the building and show him what he wanted to see. He asked him to accompany him and visit other places in the building. But this man said, no. I am satisfied. I am in peace. I don't require to see anything. No question. I am peaceful. Oh, this atmosphere is very peaceful, he said. Again and again, without asking, he would say, it is very peaceful. So, to whichever room he took him, to the hall, to other places, everywhere he was saying, it is wonderful, it is so much peace here. So, what I was trying to say was that, Baba says, I am with you. At no point of time during the whole world cycle, I say, I am with you. But it is in this auspicious Sangam Yug, I say, children, I am with you. Do you believe me? Do you trust me at my words? Do you live this truth? Do you try to put it into practice and see the result for yourself? Otherwise, the flaw from the diamond cannot be removed. It is very difficult because it is somewhere in the diamond, and diamond is a very hard substance, hard thing. No one can enter, no tools may help. It is only that subtle light and might of Baba which may percolate into the diamond and remove that flaw. This is the only yukti. Always think Baba is with you. Baba is with you. Once I asked Brother Vishwaratan, you know there is a Brother Vishwaratan. We were just talking to each other for a while. I asked him, Brother Vishwaratan, what is your effort nowadays? What are you trying for? Your main stress, you would like to say, is on what thing? He said, I always think that Baba is with me. I said, in what way it helps you? Just by thinking that Baba is with you. He said, when some senior or elder is with us, then we have to be cautious of our words, of our actions, because we have to be dignified. We have to watch that we don't say anything which is indecent. We should not be said in the presence of seniors, isn't it? This is what we do even in the ordinary, everyday world. And when we think that Baba is with me, naturally I can't speak words which in the presence of Baba I should not. I can't think of those negative things because Baba is there. So this Baba is with me, this kind of a thing, if we have this in our mind, we are very much helped by this. But again and again we forget that Baba is with me. Any problem will be solved, any difficulty will disappear, and we will always be happy when we have this company, the company of God Himself, which even the great sages and the saints who tried their utmost and who sacrificed so much for attaining this kind of company, of being with God even for a split second, O God, show yourself to me, even for a split second. Otherwise I will cut my head off my body if you don't appear before me this morning. I have been crying, I am your child, why don't you appear before me? This is what the bhaktas would say, those who were devotees in copper age. But here, Baba says, I am with you. It's great. It's really great, provided we understand what it means and we put it into practice. So think, this kind of consciousness, Baba is with me. One is that you could think of yourself as in Paramdham. The other is that you could think that you are in the subtle world. Or you could link yourself with the Supreme Soul from here, that God is there, I am here, and let me connect the soul with the Supreme. There could be so many ways. But I am an angel, and Baba in his angelic form is, Bab Dada is with me. This kind of awareness, when you are walking, when you are talking, when you are doing your things, this helps a lot. It is the way which can transform you. The flaws can be removed from you. So think of this. Then in one of the Murlis, Baba said, sometimes when you are not body conscious, in the ordinary sense of the word, in the ordinary meaning of the word, as we know it, you are at that point of time activity consciousness, action consciousness. What do we mean by action consciousness? This is the question which most often sisters and brothers ask when we are doing our office work, when we are doing our research work, when we are doing something for which full attention is required, then our mind, our intellect is totally absorbed in that action, and then we forget Baba. We forget that we are souls. So, though in the grass meaning of this world at that time we are not body conscious, but Baba said you are action conscious. Because your mind is preoccupied with the action to which you are applying your attention. So, in order to liberate us from this situation, Baba said, you should spare some time, every hour, maybe every half an hour, but as much as possible, to think of your real being, your real self, your real identity, and think of Baba being in your company, Baba being with you. You do the action because there is some responsibility entrusted to you. You have to play a meaningful role, because without that, you would not have full satisfaction. And it is by means of action that you will be able to manifest your speciality and do some service. So action is essential. So do the action. I don't ask you to stop all action and just sit tight, just squatting on the ground and doing nothing, only remembering. But Baba said, even when you are doing this activity, which is your duty entrusted to you, maybe your service given to your care, then time and again, let there not be big gaps, time and again you just intersperse this with this kind of consciousness. Baba is with me. Baba is looking at me, what I am doing. Baba is helping me. It is Baba's work which I am doing. Wah, Baba, wah. I am your child. Baba, you changed my life. Baba, you are so wonderful. Have these thoughts. How much time it takes? Even otherwise also, some thoughts do enter our mind. Our mind is not perfect vacuum at any point of time. So let these thoughts come again and again. this will gradually work on this diamond. It will chisel it and remove the flaw, because the flaw is deep inside. And the work, constant work of these thoughts, thoughts are the most minute tool, the subtlest tool. And it is by means of these kind of thoughts, powerful thoughts, that the flaw can be removed. So have these thoughts. Then, in one of the Murlis, Baba said, you should think that the Brahman family is wearing a crown. And you are the diamond of that crown. There are so many diamonds in that crown. And you are one of those diamonds. If one of the diamonds is false or fake or falls down or has a flaw, it doesn't shine, then that crown, the whole crown becomes defective. A person's attention goes to that diamond which is not radiating light, which is an artificial diamond, whereas others are shining and so on. It devalues the whole crown overall. So Baba said, think that you are a valuable diamond in the crown of the Brahmin family. It is your duty to shine, because the honor of the whole Brahmin family depends on you. You are the one on whom depends the glorification of Baba and of this divine family, of this Brahmin family. You must shine. Like a person who is in the cricket team, whether the batsman or the bowler or whosoever, he tries his best, because on his efforts depends the success of the whole team. He thinks that he has also to do his duty as best as he can. Similarly, you should think that you are not merely a diamond buried deep down under the earth in the diamond mines, but you are the diamond presently in the crown of the Brahmin family, the yogi's family, the family of angels, the divine family, the family of those who will become deities in golden age. And on you depends the success of the family, this great family, unique family, the family under the parenthood or fatherhood of God. So how much responsibility it is, and how much honor it is. What a great privilege it is that we are the diamonds of such a crown, you see. Great. So if you have this kind of awareness or consciousness, this will also remove some of your flaws, because you will shine to the best of your ability. And this kind of a practice will gradually remove the negativity from you and give you your original shine. Now, to be brief, these are some of the things which Baba has given us to do, whereas there are other things of which Baba has given us the caution, warning. Don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. Otherwise, the flaws will remain. Not only the flaws which you already have will remain, other flaws will also enter. Not to speak of becoming a flawless diamond, but you will become all the more flawful diamond if you don't take care of these precautions which Baba has given, the warnings which he has given. Because we sometimes open the doors, the gates to Maya. If more and more Maya enters into this diamond, it will have more and more flaws. If the flaws can be rooted out, if they can be taken out, then it means they can enter in also. So while you are trying to take them out, don't be careless and help other flaws to enter. Beware of them. Be careful. Now I am going to give you those precautions, those cares which you must do. Now Baba says, there are generally three or four ways in which flaws enter into you. Let those gates be closed. Watch yourself. One is that the obstacles will come. It is essential that they would come. It is Kali Yuga. And life after life in the past, we have done certain actions as a result of which so many difficulties, problems, obstacles, hardships, typhoons, storms, they come. They will come. And you will become shaky, you will feel you are weak, you are unequal, you cannot face. And there is a likelihood that you will allow Maya to enter. For example, you say you have given up anger. Okay, one fly is out. Anger, no more. Last year, during the Mela at Talhati, Baba said, give up the anger. Those of you who should come next time, who don't indulge into anger. Isn't it? Krodh Mukt, free from anger, he said. Now you think, Baba has done a great thing. He has given us this blessing. Oh, I will become free from anger. Totally peaceful. Why should I bother about nasty things, small things? You see. Isn't it? After all, this is the best stage we should have. Freedom from anger. This is the greatest freedom. You think of it. But then one after another, so many hardships come. People misbehave with you. They insult you. They marginalize you. They neglect you. They disrespect you. They snatch all the privileges from you. They don't allow you to serve the way you want to do. So many other things are coming, one after the other. A whole mountain of obstacles on your head. And then you become angry. Why? You say, I was not going to be angry because I had committed, I had made a promise with Baba, I won't be. But because of these hardships, these problems, these difficulties, these storms, there was no other choice. Anger came. What could I do? Anger came. Came from where? From Madhuban? From Delhi? From Ahmedabad? Where from it came? You see. Anger came. So Baba says you opened the door, opened the gate. This is one gate of Maya entering you. Storms, beware. Stop it. See, your door is closed because otherwise anger is going to enter. Why did you open the gate? The question is, you said Maya came. Alright, it came. It was not within you, but it came from outside. Why did you open the door, allow it to come in? You see, you should not have opened the door. What door it was is a different question. But you have opened the door of the fortress, of the fort, of the mind you have, and therefore the Maya had a chance to enter you, which you should not have done. So Baba says, these obstacles, problems, difficulties, hardships, whatever you may call them, greater and greater, more harder than before, more severe than before, which you had never even dreamt of, and never expected, never thought they would come to your life. You are after all leading a good life. Why is it that they are coming? They will come to test you. Because you are trying to be a great yogi, to be near God, to have the Godfatherly full inheritance. They will come. It's natural. But you should not allow them to enter. You should not open the gate. When you are aware that they will come, why should you open the door? Someone is not aware that this is the gate from which an enemy can enter. Okay, keep the door open. But when someone warns you beforehand that the enemy may come from this door, then you must keep it locked. You see. So this is one thing. And then Baba says your attitudes, your vritti, your vritti, your attitudes. You change your attitude and a flaw will enter you, the diamond. You are a diamond, no doubt. But the flaw will enter you if you have that kind of an attitude. Have always the positive attitude, the divine attitude. Never, never, never have the negative attitude. Otherwise, you are inviting Maya, you are inviting trouble. You are trying to be flawful again. Not lawful, I am saying flawful. You are again having some negativity in you. See. So, always have this kind of attitude. And Baba says drishti, vritti and drishti, your outlook, pessimistic outlook or optimistic outlook, positive outlook or negative outlook, you are being introvert or extrovert, you see. Now these kinds, I am not going into the details of how many vrittis, how many attitudes there are, and how each kind of attitude can be changed. There are many kinds of attitudes. But I am just giving you briefly that you beware of your attitude and outlook, and of the difficulties, the problems that will come before you. These are the three main gates, the doors through which the flaws will enter again. So, be cautious. And then the fourth one is, you sometimes look upon others and try to follow them. Whereas Baba says, follow me, follow Father. You follow other human beings who are not perfect, who are some of them lazy. They have lethargy. They are slovenliness. They don't make sincere efforts. They are not making rapid progress. They are whiling away and wasting away their time. For how many years they have been in knowledge? They have not fully utilized their time. The question is not how many years they have spent here. The question is how many years they have spent in the sincere effort. But you look at such people who are falling. Do you want to fall that you are looking at them? You want to follow such people. If that person is not making any efforts, so is this any reason that you should do the same? Therefore, Baba says, look to me, follow me. Don't follow any of these weaklings, because they are the people with the flaws already. If you want to have flaws, it is your choice. Think about you. And if you want to become a flawless diamond, naturally you have to look to a flawless diamond. And it is God alone who is a flawless diamond. So you look at Him. Otherwise again you will have the flaws. So this is one caution which He gives. Pardarshan, Parchintan and so on in one, some of the Murlis. Why you look at others? Why you think of these people? Think of me. Look at me. Follow me. Walk before me. Put your steps before me, after me on my steps. And don't become... Now when we say that we have to become real diamonds, not only flawless diamonds, but real diamonds, not artificial diamonds. Presently we have artificial diamonds also, maybe that some of the artificial diamonds are flawless diamonds, but a real diamond may be having flaws. So the question is not only of having no flaws, but to become the real diamond also, not merely showy artificial diamonds. The worth, the cost, the price, the value is of real diamonds. Now I will say, why we have these flaws? Because there are certain false things in us. We have become false diamonds. Not only are there some flaws, if there were one or two flaws, it could have been removed within this time. But it is not possible, we have not been able to do it. It is because there are not one or two flaws, there are many, many of them. If there are many, many of them, it is like a false diamond. So, why a person gets flaws, why it becomes a false diamond, how we should be free from it, that I will tell you now. What makes us false diamonds? One is the false knowledge. False knowledge, pseudo-knowledge, as they call it. What I am. It means there is a knowledge, other kind of knowledge also. Some people think that they know God, but in reality they do not know Him as He is, what He is, who He is. So have that kind of knowledge which is the original knowledge given by God. Unmixed, pure knowledge. Knowledge which comes from Baba. Baba gives His own introduction, who He is, what He is, how He is, what are His actions, what are His attributes, and so on. So, be aware of false knowledge, otherwise you will become false diamonds. Then the other is false pride. Pride in any form is something which is prohibited. But false knowledge the most of all. False knowledge. False pride. Now what is false pride? I give so much money to the yajna. A person has so much money and he is putting money in bhandari or by way of help, giving for some good purposes. But he is making his own future fortune. What is he giving as compared to what he has obtained from God for 2500 years? Not only 2500 years, but for the whole of Kalpa. He has made his fortune, his health, wealth, prosperity, happiness and all he has been able to get. And whatever little it he gives in this Iron Age, when everything is in its stomach uniform, what after all is the value of what a person gives as compared to what he has obtained? So it is false pride to think that we are giving, whereas the fact is that we are taking. I do so much service, some people think. I do so much service. From morning till night, I am busy with service. I arrange this function, organize this conference, this cultural program. And how successful it was, everyone enjoyed. It is because of me. I am a very serviceable person. I have a great know-how of all these things. Without me, it would not have been as beautiful a program as it was. Because I do it. I did it. I have that ability. Where have others these abilities? They don't have. You see, it is my specialty. So this is another kind of false pride. Because even if I was able to do something which helped others, it was the correct knowledge which I put into the cultural form, or in the form of the speech, or in the form of the management of the stage, or in some other form. But the main thing which helped people to become what the goal of their life was is because Baba gave such a wonderful, valuable knowledge. It is because of him. Otherwise I would have been somewhere else, wasting my time, wasting my life, just becoming a vicious person. What value I had? I was like a stone, as I said in the beginning of this evening's talk. Some are like stone, others are like diamonds. I was like that, you see. So this again is false pride. I am so much dedicated to Baba. I have surrendered my intellect to Baba. Nothing belongs to me. My everything belongs to Baba. And I always proclaim it from the rooftops. Oh, I am a dedicated person. You see. I surrendered myself to Baba. You see. This person is doing his worldly things, but I am dedicated. And even those who are in their household, they would say, we are Babas, we are dedicated. Why you beat the drum? All the time at the clarion call, you announce the people. Oh, people, look at me. I am such a high class dedicated person. You see, this in itself shows that you are not dedicated. You see, why boast about it? This is a false pride. I just gave you a few examples. It can take so many forms. False pride. When we talk of humility, total humility, we are totally surrendered to Baba. Baba, the best thing is that we have been able to have you. Without that, we were nothing, absolutely nothing. We were the poorest on earth. Whatever we had was like thorns, like pebbles, like stones. It had no meaning. On the other hand, our life was becoming degenerated. Baba, you gave us so many beautiful gifts. How much we love you, Baba. We have been able to do nothing. Can we do something more, Baba, which we have not been able to do? We want to do it more. Even our life is for Baba, isn't it? So such kinds of thoughts should be there in us, like sober persons have, rather than boasting about it, bragging about it. you see. Otherwise, it will be a false pride. Then we will become diamonds with flaws again. On the one hand, we practice whole consciousness, practice meditation. On the other hand, at other points of time during the day, we have this false pride. So, where do we go? What happens? Ultimately, what is the net result? When we close our accounts at the end of the day, we are in debts or we are have some credit, plus or minus, you see. What is the balance sheet show? Then it is false identification. One is I told you about false knowledge. The other was about false dedication. Actually, everyone has self-interest, you see. Maybe that even when we are dedicated, we have some self-interest. We want to serve ourselves rather than to serve others. Maybe that outwardly we perhaps show that we are dedicated, but inwardly we gain more by becoming dedicated. This is another way. Some people become social workers because by becoming social workers they get more name and fame. So they will, if people ask them, who are you, what do you do? I serve the society, I am a humble servant of the society, I am a social worker. But then people praise them. Oh, he is a great social worker. He did that, he opened a hospital and he had opened an orphan home and aged persons, old people's house and so on and so forth. He becomes very happy. I did a lot of social service. You see. So by doing social service, I got this publicity, this advertisement, this name and fame. In return for it, it is not total service. Perhaps most part of it is service to me, my own self. You see. People give me a comfortable house, they give me a vehicle, they give me some servants, some other facilities. In India, they give so many facilities to those who fought the British people at the time of independence. So, at that time they said they made so much sacrifice, but in return for it they got so much, you know, out of proportion. So, think, total dedication, total sacrifice, we are nothing, we want nothing. Baba, we are with you are with us, we are yours, nothing belongs to us. This kind of spirit of dedication, so that Baba says when you become zero, then only you become hero. Without becoming zero, never dream of becoming a hero, hero actor in this drama. But you want to become both, hero and also perhaps someone else. Okay. Then I was talking of false identification. Not only is this identification with the body, which is one form of false identification, but the other is with sanskaras, with our swabhava, our nature. Some people shout. And then when someone points out, but why you shout? Can't you speak in softer tones, sweetly, lovingly, in a friendly manner? Why you shout? I become fearful when you shout. You see, speak slowly, Baba said, speak softly, speak sweetly. And they say, oh, don't mind, it is my nature, it is my sanskara. I'm not being angry. The person would reply, I am not being angry, please don't feel about it. It is not shouting, I speak loudly, you see, he says. Why? Because it is my nature, my sanskara, my habit, you see. At most such points of time we would say, it is my swabhava, my sanskara. The emphasis being on the word my, my swabhava, my sanskara. Baba says this is false identification. Because it is not your swabhava and sanskara. It is Maya's, Ravan's swabhava and sanskara. The soul in its original form is pure. It is peaceful. The soul in the golden age does not shout at other people. You are Adi and Anadi Swarup. Your stage in the beginning was very different when you were deities, gods and goddesses in golden age. That was your real swabhava and sanskara. And this which we are now talking about is not, you can't say it is my swabhava and sanskara. Use not this word my here. Because it is not yours, it is Maya's. Ravans. You are again wrongly identifying yourself with Maya. Sometimes we identify ourselves with our body. We become body conscious. At other times we identify ourselves with Maya. You know, people say sex. Sex is natural. Anger. Little bit of anger is natural. Because we are descended from apes. And we were beasts. Once upon a time our ancestors, they were hunters and gatherers. We have descended from them, so we got the genetic inheritance from them. So anger, little bit of anger is natural. You see, so on and so forth. So is it my nature? I am an ape? You mean that there is an ape within me? So this is another flaw which has to be removed from this diamond. A very big ape inside the diamond, how it can be? You see, can't be. Again, I am wrongly identifying myself. It is Maya, it is not me, you see. Wrong identification. Then identification, wrong identification with things. A house is on fire. Maybe there was short electric circuit. And maybe some other mishap. The fire engulfed the house. And I say, ha, 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 I am dead. Why I am dead? You are alive. You are here. Why you say this? Because the house is burnt. He said, I am burnt. Without this house, I cannot be. You know, someone's wife dies, he cries. Someone's husband dies, he cries. Someone's son dies, he cries. Because he identifies himself and he says, oh, I am dead. You see, you are not dead. Your son is dead. Your wife is dead. Your husband is dead. Not you. But he identifies with persons and also with things. Another kind of false identification. This again brings certain kinds of flaws in us. So we have to give up these false identifications. Then false identification with happiness. Sometimes we get pleasures when we have some good dishes, relishable dishes. Food, eatables, drinks, very savory, very tasteful, sights, dresses, sceneries. And we feel, we say happy. This of course is no doubt happiness. But let us not identify ourselves with this sensual happiness. Happiness which comes from grass objects, which comes from various things. Consumer goods. Because if our frame of mind is disturbed, whatever be the food served to us, whatever be the scenery before us, however wonderful and artistic things we may be looking at, we don't feel happy. That shows happiness lies not in those things, but it depends upon my attitude, my frame of mind, my mood, my state of being. So, real happiness is that. If that is not there, then these things cannot make you happy. When the child has lost the mother, he is weeping, and you give him good toys, which originally gave him happiness, but you are now giving him toys so that he may forget his mother. But no, he throws away the toys. He says, but where is my mama? Give me my mother, you see. Because he thinks that that is real happiness. If mother is not there, what will I do with my toys? First of all, I want my mother. If I get my mother, I will get so many toys from her. No toys, I want my mother. So, mother is not to be identified with the toys. You see. You are identifying happiness with this kind of pleasures, which depends upon grass things. If my taste is not good, because of some problem inside me, maybe stomach, maybe liver, maybe my digestion. You see, if the taste is not good, however tasty things you may give, which I relished a day before, I don't savor them today. It is because the happiness is not in those things, but in my state of health also. If my buds are not working properly, I cannot relish. Whether a thing is salty or sour or sweet, I cannot, because these are dead. So, wrong identification of happiness. If you just mistake one for the other, then again the flaw will be there. Then the other is wrong, false love, false knowledge, false pride, false identification, and now false love, which is not real love. It is fake love, make-believe love. It is artificial love. It is false love. And sometimes when we say, it is not that I am attached to this person, but because this person has some qualities. It is because of the qualities I love the person. And you know, Baba has been saying that, where from you got those qualities? Who is the ocean of the qualities, the fountain of qualities? Where from these qualities come to different human beings? So your love should be directed only to one and to others via him, through him. Otherwise it is false love. And then you will get the shocks of your life if later on you discover that it was really false love. But at that time it would be late. Then false personality. Because we are trying to show what we are not. And we are trying not to show what we are. So, playing hoax with people, hypocrites, you know. Saying something, doing another. Recently there was a retreat of women and the title was Four Faces of Women. I think there are more faces, not four. And not only four faces of women, but of every being, of men also. Men also have four faces at least, maybe more. What are those four faces? You see. One is our private personality when we are in our bathroom, or when we are in our bed alone, you know. What we actually are, we know about ourselves. When we peep into ourselves, what we are with us, we know. What are our weaknesses? What are our good points? That is our one personality, which we very often hide from others. And our morality also is of many kinds. This is private morality, you know. So we are not being honest and sincere because of this multiple personality. In the sense, false personality. So one is private, the other is public. When we appear before the public, we play before them like an actor in a drama, making false gestures, playing our role given in the drama after having done the rehearsal, trying to show that I am weeping whereas actually I am not weeping, you know, trying to show I am happy whereas actually I am not happy, trying to show love for another actor whereas in my private life I may have hated for the person. So this is another personality, public personality. Then in the family, the children, the wife, the other members of the family know me, what I am. Partly, not fully, because my private personality is still different. So before them I have to act in a different manner. That is a different personality, third phase. And then in the professional life, a different personality. And add to this another phase in the divine family, the Brahmin family. We try to show ourselves in a different way so that it may not create a bad impression. People may not think that we are so bad, you see. Actually we may be. I do not mean to say that we should reveal everything to everybody. Because all people are not that genuine. They themselves are some such people who need not be told all these things. Only to those people we need consult, who can guide us. But there is this kind of thing. So if the more and more we become real diamonds and the flaws are removed from us, then our false personality finishes. And we have only one personality. Outwardly and inwardly we are one. Whatever we do, whatever we speak, whatever we think is one. There is no gap, no difference. Only one personality. So we have to try to abridge this gap and be away from this false personality. I am coming closer to the end of the time given to me this evening, and I would therefore like to close with the last one, saying false satisfaction. False satisfaction. Baba says that you have to get 3 certificates. One from yourself, your mind should say that you are satisfied with your actions, with your progress, with your state of being. And others who come in contact with you, who interact with you, they should be satisfied with you. Another certificate you have to get. And then God, Shiv Baba, should be satisfied with you. But sometimes we think it is okay. We are good enough. It is false satisfaction. So when we remove these, and Baba has given many points for this, then we become flawless diamonds. And the most important thing is the seed stage of yoga. That powerful yoga will remove all our flaws, in which we have light and might at its climax. We are so linked to Shiv Baba that at that time we are so immersed in spiritual experience that no other thought intervenes. Me and Baba and no third person enters there. When we practice that kind of meditation, it is that which will remove all the flaws. Now, I leave about 10 minutes for you to put any question related to this evening's talk. Thank you. Any question? You're asking the question, how long should we practice the seed stage of yoga? As long as you can. The more, the better. But depends upon the quality, not merely on the length of the time, but the quality of the experience, the height of the experience. What is the intensity of the meditation at that time? The problem is that when someone practices seed stage of meditation, very soon, maybe within a few minutes, one gets such a nice experience, powerful experience, that one feels that one is fulfilled, one is amply rewarded. And therefore, one gets up and says that now I have to do something. But the best thing would be, if we cannot constantly practice this stage for quite some time, then at least we should practice it as often as we can. Not that we leave big gaps. Suppose I practice this seed stage of meditation today, then maybe after 3 months or 1 year again. No. Even if I practice it, say, for 20 minutes every day, it is wonderful. Any other question? Friends between?
False identification. And identification and false personality.
False personality?
Yes, the difference.
Mm-hmm. False personality is actually a result of false identification. When we have various kinds of false identification, then the result is various kinds of false personalities. So one is the cause, the other is the effect. Both are related, but they feed each other. False personality again leads us to false identification. It strengthens false identification. It makes its roots stronger. And false identification again enhances our false personality. They feed each other, strengthen each other, reinforce each other. But in one way or the other, one is the result of the other. Any other question? Yes.
Вот, например, ты по роду своей работы приходишь в аудиторию, например, ученики или студенты, она совершенно хаотично себя ведет. Совершенно. Никакого внимания на тебя не обращает, а тебе надо с ней работать. И как ты не стараешься быть в состоянии ом шанти?
For example, you came into the class, you are teacher, and you see that students are leading themselves very naughty. They do not listen to you, they do not follow you. So what to do at this situation, in these situations?
If students don't listen to me, they don't follow me, what will I do? I'll become angry, you mean?
And it is...
Kya kehte? So the question is that when we go to our workplace and the atmosphere there is not congenial, it disturbs, the vibrations are altogether different, then what are we supposed to do? As I said, all these tests, all these different difficulties, problems, obstacles will come. But Baba has given us solution to all these things. Namely that we should consider that we, even when we are in a public place, we could imagine that we are in a cave. This body is like a cave. It is like a hut. Hut meant kutia. You have seen Baba's hut. This body is like a hut. It is like a cave. And the soul is there. So you could disconnect yourself, detach yourself from the environment for some time and be a tapasvi, a yogi. That is the way how you can be immune to that vibration, that atmosphere. Not to be influenced by it. If you want to become perfect, the way to become perfect is to be away from effect. Have no effect. Then only you will become perfect. If the environment affects you, other things also have their negative effect on you, then you cannot become perfect. Therefore, people are nowadays trying to explore the immunity towards diseases. The medical people are doing researches in how to enhance the immunity of a person, resistance to certain diseases, so that the disease may not attack. We may be free from it. So you have to become immune to protect yourself. And the protective way is that you think that you are surrounded by light. And Shiv Baba's umbrella is on you. It depends upon your awareness. If you have that kind of awareness, you know, if someone is busy, have you seen an Indian rope dancer? Nowadays that act is not very common, but sometimes in circus it is done. They have two bamboo poles, bamboo sticks, one here, one there. And tied between these two poles is a string, a rope. And on the rope, somebody balances himself on the head, legs up, head down, on the rope. And the drums beat. And there are people looking at him, because it is circus. And not only in circus, previously they used to come to your streets, where you stay. And in the streets they would show. Someone would beat the drum. And this man, just on that thin rope, he would just walk from one end to the other end of the rope, headlong, maintaining the balance. Some people would be shouting, others would be clapping. Some would be saying, he may not fall. What will happen if he falls down? He will die because he will fall on his head. You see. Others will say, no, don't worry, he knows this art. He will be successful. So people are commenting. But he does not listen to any of these things. He is in his own thought. Then only he can do the balance. In one picture they show, you know the story of Mahabharata. Arjuna was asked to shoot his arrow. There was a disc over there. It was moving disc. And in that disc was a fish. And he was supposed to strike the arrow in the eyeball of that fish. If he can do that, then he will win the hand of Draupadi. Actually, Draupadi has a meaning. Draupadi. Draupadi means stable, whose existence is stable, which means stability in existence. Because all this is metaphoric, symbolical. If he is able to do that. So others who wanted to win the hand of Draupadi, a beautiful queen, they tried to do this. They could not do. Arjuna was able to do it. So after he was able to do it, somebody asked him, how you did it, which others could not do it. He said, I did not look at the disc. I did not look at the fish. I looked only at the eye. I did not look at the people around me. I did not listen to what they were saying. I was not conscious of anything. There were birds flying, chirping and doing whatever. I detached myself from everything and my focus was only the eye of the fish. Then only the arrow would hit the target. Concentration, as they say. So when you are working in your office, the question is mainly of your awareness. People may be saying so many silly things, talking so many obscene things, discussing so many useless things. But if your attention is on Shiv Baba, on your future, on the golden age, on Madhuban, on whatever else which is divine, which is what belongs to Brahmin life, and so on, no thing will disturb you. Okay, we close it here. 5 minutes meditation and then we stop. Om Shanti.